I'd like to read you one of my favorite chapters of St. Iggy. Now, at one point, I cut this chapter from the text entirely, but then I missed it too much and I had to put it back in again. It's a scene in which Iggy and Moe's mom go to the hairdresser's to get Iggy's haircut, and it contrasts the world that Iggy knows with the world of Moe and Moe's mom that he's just entered. Chapter 17. Moe says life can change on a dime. And this is true because yesterday I was in hell. Today I woke up in heaven, and now I'm going to the hairdresser. "What do you want to do today?" Moe's mom had asked when we were standing in the hallway getting ready to leave. I'd thought about my change everyone's mind about me plan, and the things on my list were 1. Save some kid from a crack dealer. 2. Do lots of great things and get written up in the newspaper. 3. Win an award for general greatness. Only when I'd been standing there waiting for Moe's mom to get her coat and gloves on, I'd caught my reflection in the hallway mirror. And there I was with my stupid spiky hair, and I imagined myself at the hearing looking stupid and spiky. So even though I should have chosen something like church, I'd said, "I want to get my hair cut." Moe's mom had laughed like she was not expecting that, but then she said, "All right." So now we are on our way to a haircutting place she knows, and the cool thing is we are riding in a town car, which is like a limousine, only shorter. "Allen Haircutters," Moe's mom tells the driver. Then she turns to me. Allen Haircutters is very low-key. It's a small salon a friend of mine told me about, not at all pretentious. You'll like it. She sighs and looks out the window. It is snowing a little bit now, so everything looks soft. "I've always wanted to do this with Montel," she says. I look out the window, too, and even though I should be thinking about Moe's mom, I think instead how great I will look once we are finished. I wonder if people will recognize me at the hearing. Only that reminds me how I need to get the letter so I will know when to show up. And now I think, uh-oh, because how will I get home without Moe's mom? "What's the matter?" Moe's mom asks when she sees me sit up straight. "Nothing," I say, but I slump down too far to compensate and she laughs. "Seriously," she says, "what were you thinking just then?" This is the second time I should lie, but again I'm not quick enough, so there is a long pause. "Were you thinking about school?" "Sort of." "About the hearing?" I nod. "When did you say that was?" They must have told you when to be there." That's when I decide to come clean. I haven't gotten the letter because it's still at my place and I haven't been home yet. "Oh," says Moe's mom. She waves her hand. "That's not a problem. We'll just swing by your place after your haircut. I'm sure your parents or your father, at least, would want to meet me since you're staying with me." Now, this is a very bad idea, but I am not sure how to say it, and then I don't get a chance because the driver is double parking next to the curb. "Here it is," Moe's mom says, and she pats me on the knee, all excited before she opens the door. I climb out after her, and half my brain is trying to figure out how I will ditch her after the haircut, and the other half is thinking about what I will look like without spiky hair. "I'll call you on my cell when we're ready to be picked up," Moe's mom tells the driver. And then she pushes me forward because I am frozen on the sidewalk. We go into the building and there are all these pictures of people with their haircuts posted all around. I sit in one of the big plastic chairs in the waiting room and we have to wait for like 8 minutes. And maybe that doesn't sound like a long time, but when you have never gotten a haircut except with the scissors in your kitchen, and when you are trying to figure out how to make sure no one goes to your ratty place afterwards, it is a long time. Then finally, someone calls me over, and it is a woman with really black hair and really red lipstick. "What do you want?" she asks me, and I think of all the answers to that question, like a couple grand, to get back into school, and world peace. But what I say is, "Can you part it on the side and smooth it over so I look like that guy?" I point to one of the pictures in the window, and the woman laughs. Her name tag reads Yolanda. "Honey, we'll be lucky if it parts anywhere," she says, and she snaps her gum. Snap. She asks, "Do I want it washed?" And I say yes, so then I am whisked away to another chair, this one with a sink. It is pretty strange to have someone else wash your hair, and I keep thinking, why would she want to do that? And I know it is her job, but she chose this job, so it must be okay with her to be touching people's greasy heads, which reminds me of this film we saw in school about Mother Teresa, because she was always touching people with sores and blood and pus, which is nasty. But maybe that is what it takes to be a good person. I wonder if I did that, would they make me a saint? I close my eyes and imagine everyone at school when they hear the announcement. Mrs. Brando, weeping, "It's a miracle!" Everyone, "A miracle, a miracle!" Principal Olmos at an assembly. And the lesson here, students, is that we should never have kicked Igmund out of school in the first place. Thank goodness he gave us a second chance to reinstate him, because now... Yolanda is trying to get my attention. Hey, she says, real loud in my ear. Do you want conditioner? I open my eyes and look up. I can see all of her nose hair, which is gross, but probably won't qualify me for sainthood unless I touch it. Yeah, I say. She is putting lots of conditioner in my hair, and it smells so fucking good I could cry. Then I say, are you Catholic? Because maybe that's why Yolanda took this job. But she just laughs, and I think she has a pretty laugh even when she's also got gum. No, she says, why do you ask? I could lie, but I say, well, I was just thinking how you're like Mother Teresa. This is one of those times when I should have lied, because Yolanda stops and cocks her hip to one side, which I can only see from the corner of my eye because I am staring up at the ceiling with conditioner all over my head. A little bit of it drips in my eye, so I blink a lot and think, damn, Iggy, you should have kept your mouth shut. Is that a pickup line? Because I can throw you out of here if you're going to be like that. Yolanda starts scrubbing really hard. No, I say, because I am not getting kicked out of anywhere ever again. So I talk quick. I was just thinking how you clean people up all day, that's all. She stops scrubbing so hard and wipes the conditioner out of my eye. Oh, she says, are you serious? I nod as much as I can with a soaking wet head. I swear to God, Yolanda says, that's the nicest thing anyone has ever said to me. What's your name? I tell her it is Iggy Corso, and she says that's a good name, and she gets a little teary while she finishes rinsing, but then I have to go to another chair so she can decide how to cut my hair. She looks at it from all these angles, and the whole time we are trying to have two conversations at once. What do you usually do in terms of styling? No one's ever compared me to Mother Teresa before, that's for darn sure. Nothing. I saw a film about her at school. She did a lot of great things. Well, that's true enough. You know they're making her a saint, don't you? That's what I heard, anyway. Don't you use product? Product? Maybe I'll be a saint someday, too. Product is gel. So you're Catholic, then? No. Well, you have to be Catholic. Oh. And you have to perform miracles. Blow dryer? Huh? Oh, no. I just said that to impress you. Really, I just want to get back into school. Oh, well, if you want to impress me, you could use a blow dryer and some product, but the school thing is a good goal. She laughs again and cuts some hair off, and then she keeps smiling and cutting, and when she is done, she shows me the back with the mirror. I'm hoping I will look real different, like someone else maybe, but the only difference is that the spikes are shorter now. Only I don't say that because Yolanda keeps saying how difficult it was. Then Yolanda stands there while Mo's mom pays the money, and I try to read what her face says she is thinking, but her boss comes over and yells at her to get back to work, so she takes out a broom to sweep up all of my hair. But just before I go, she waves a half wave where no one else can see. Bye, St. Iggy, she says, and she smiles real sweet as I shut the door.